I would have to say that other than the Pac-12 going, oh, I don't know, undefeated over the weekend, the ACC was probably the most impressive of the conferences and the most impressive of the conferences that will last beyond this year, although there is a nuance that could have the Pac-12 with just two teams existing for one more season. Wes Durham joins us. He is the voice of the ACC. I appreciate your time, sir. Did you hear about that, by the way, that Oregon State and Washington State for at least two more years could be a conference of two?
Yeah. I would suggest highly that you get John Wilner on your show.
I've tried. He's not easy. It's not easy to contact. If you have a contact, by all means.
Yeah, his podcast with John Canzano is excellent. And they started into that about a month ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, I guess I heard that for the first time. And the reason the Pac-12 is, as you've probably explained to your listeners, the reason the Pac-12 needs to stay in business is because they're due about $60 million of NCAA basketball money, right?
Right.
So here's what I'm going to forecast for you. Since we can all do this and never be held accountable, apparently, in our industry now, I'm going to tell you that the Mountain West dissolves operation and joins the Pac-2.
Okay.
How about that? I'm going to give you that only on the line of this. The Mountain West would dissolve in about 18 months, a so-so television deal.
Yeah.
They would dissolve. Now, first of all, the two schools staying in the Pac-12 would have obviously higher slices of the pie, bigger slices of the pie than the members of the Mountain West, but it makes too much sense. It makes too much sense for those schools to join the Pac-12 as opposed to the Pac-12 foregoing that money that obviously could be shared to those members as well. It actually makes more sense than not when you start thinking about it, if you just take the loyalties and all the other things out of play. And they've got a commissioner. You know, Kliavkov won't be the commissioner, so on and so forth.
Be Craig Thompson, right? When Craig Thompson?
No, Craig Thompson retired.
Oh, man.
And the young lady who got the job, and forgive me, I cannot remember her name. But they have a brand new commissioner. I think she's been, how about this, been on the job about 6 months.
Perfect.
And you start dealing with this. So there
perfect.
You go.
Look, if I were Oregon State and Washington State, I would just be a conference of two.
Well, you can, technically.
Right.
Now, how much status can you maintain? What
you
kind
get
of leverage
2 years.
Do you have? Yeah, you get 2 years. But the way I like to look at it, AG, is the ACC didn't go 8-2 in non-conference football action this past weekend. They went 11-2.
That is absolutely right. All right, let's talk about, because SMU won at home against Louisiana Tech. Cal and Stanford both had comfortable, convincing wins on the road. All right, let's start in Charlotte, where Carolina beat South Carolina. I had my doubts as to whether or not Carolina would be able to show anything on the defensive front.
Right.
But I thought their defensive front was, the to me, the eye-opening winner of the game for them.
Yeah, I think what Kamen Rucker, being the Walter Camp National Defensive Player of the Week, if you'd have bet $10 on that, what would have the take been?
A lot. Yeah.
Yeah. I was impressed. I'm curious, because since I've got the game Saturday, I'm going to get to ask this question, I guess, Friday with Gene Chizik. I'm as curious about the three-man front package as I am anything else I've saw this weekend out of Carolina. I mean, Chip Lindsey throwing the ball to the tight end shocked a lot of people that knew Chip Lindsey. It didn't shock me, because he's got three really good tight ends.
Yeah.
But the three-man pressure package that Carolina came with against a pretty respectable offensive line of South Carolina. I mean, it's not like South Carolina had two guys and three cones out there, okay? they have pretty good offensive line play. And I saw that three-man package get a lot of pressure. And Kamen Rucker came from peeling on one side. I really thought the way they used Amari Gaynor was – pretty cool too, you know.
Yes.
I mean, I just think they did a lot of really good schematic stuff, and I'm excited to kind of see how that carryover works. But yeah, the defensive side for Carolina, and by the way, losing DeAndre Boykins in the preseason's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
That guy was a good player for them, but they're playing with renewed confidence, and I'm curious how that confidence is, if it's schematics, if it's the constant repetition of things. I mean, I'm really interested to talk to Chiz on Friday before we do the APA game on Saturday, obviously.
Max said, I believe it was yesterday, that their defensive front had been causing their offense problems. in practice. He goes, but I didn't know if it what it was. I didn't know if it was real or, you know, and then we would see. But, I mean, I thought, you know, the pass rush is one thing. But I thought the South Carolina had zero success running the ball.
Right.
To me, it was even more surprising because I just assumed that South Carolina would have success on the ground against UNC because everybody has seemed to. It wasn't so much to me about the pass rush. I know 17 sacks all of last year and basically half that many against South Carolina Saturday.
Yeah.
But South Carolina couldn't run it, and I thought that was the most impressive thing.
I agree with that part. And then the only pause of concern I have is that the Gamecocks had some drops.
They did.
And Carolina allowed 350 yards of passing.
Yeah.
I mean, how much of that is a concern now, and what can you do to tune it up to match? But here's the reality. Rattler was hurried all night, never got comfortable in the throw game. He did throw for 350, but, you know, the plays that he made downfield seemed to be busted plays or plays where he improvised out of what was originally called. Now, you can look at that and measure it any way you want to, but nonetheless, Carolina got to him 9 times, and they slowed the rundown, which is more than you can say about any Carolina defensive unit, really in the last couple of years. So there you go.
Tez Walker going to be on the field against App on Saturday?
I think he is. I think he is.
I do too.
I think that the kid at Arizona State, the kid at Florida State, and the three other kids that are involved in this type of rewriting of the policy or re-administrating of the policy that the NCAA has been, you know, getting publicly flogged for the last month or whatever, I think they revert and reverse course on all those kids. At least I hope so.
Which makes what I said before the weekend even started, that if I were North Carolina, I would have put him on the field. I would have put him on the field and dared the NCAA to do something about it, because ultimately they understand he's going to be eligible. The NCAA is just doing NCAA things. All right, Wes Durham, voice of the ACC, and I know you're going to have the App Carolina game coming up. Hopefully some people here will be able to watch it. I know I can. YouTubeTV.com. Go check it out. The Blue Devils did the thing last night.
Did they?
I know Clemson was not at their best, but I don't think Duke was either. So, I mean, both teams left points on the board or gift-wrapped points for the other team, as Duke did. Duke was minus 10 on their mistakes in the first. We lost Wes here for a second. I'll point this out to people as we get Wes Durham back on board here. Duke was minus 10 on their mistakes in the first half. The muffed punt that set Clemson up for their only points of the game, and the field goal that they would have at least attempted late in the first half that was erased when they fumbled. Now, I'm crediting, you know, Clemson gets credit for making a play there, right? That's okay. But Duke had mistakes as well. It wasn't just Clemson derping it up. Of course, Clemson's mistakes happened in the second half, which were more alarming for people, especially if we go into the game with preconceived notions that Clemson should win the game. Paul Feinbaum actually went as far after the game as, oh, the Dabo dynasty is over. Well, I mean, you could have made that statement last year or the year before and been correct too. I'm not convinced that their offense, it's not about coaching. I'm not convinced that their offense has good enough players to be great. And that's the bar that Clemson is established for itself. Just not sure that Klubnik is good enough, that their receivers are good enough. We know Shipley's good enough. I think the offensive line is pretty good. I don't know if the offensive line is great, but I think it's pretty good. I just don't know if the rest of it, if the skill position package other than Shipley, I don't know that that's great. Of course, it is just week one, so maybe it will prove to be great. No clue. But Duke made just as many mistakes in the first half. Maybe not just as many, but they had costly mistakes in the first half too, not to mention pre-snap penalties that took them from third and two to third and seven twice. and they ended up one time kicking a field goal, and the next time, I think, going for it on fourth down and turning it over on downs. So they had mistakes, too. Mistakes weren't just one way. And it is what it is. It's week one. Clemson, in the past, has been good enough to overcome themselves, and right now, they weren't. Or last night, they weren't. But I'll be curious to know what Wes feels like about the Blue Devils and the Tigers going forward. All right, let's continue this, Wes. I pointed out that Duke had their own mistakes in the first half. It cost them 10 points. And then, but Clemson's mistakes were in the second half, and they're more glaring. How did you see that?
Well, I think the first thing I noticed was that I thought Clemson, and this is going to be funny because we're talking about a guy making, what, $3 million as an offensive coordinator, but right. I thought Clemson looked like a team playing in a new offense for the first time. I guess the biggest disappointment, if I'm a Clemson fan this morning, is I didn't think our defense played very well. And I thought your defense was going to be one of the better defensive units in the country. Now, some of that credit goes to Kevin Johns and the offense at Duke. And I don't think you can ever forget that Riley Leonard returned everybody that caught a ball last year from him. I don't think you can forget that. And I think the other part about it is you got a draft pick in Graham Barton in the offensive line. You got guys who they have mixed in there nicely. And secondly to that, I think you got a quarterback who's a first-round pick, might be a top-10 pick by the time they have the thing next spring. I'm taking him out a year early. Sorry, Duke fans. but to me, Adam, Duke is the one that played with a lot more confidence last night. And that part is concerning if I'm a Clemson fan this morning. If I'm a Duke fan, I'm excited because we've got a football program. We've got a football program. We've got a football coach. We've got a direction. We've got some stick-to-itiveness. We've got some continuity, right?
Yeah.
And, yeah, we've got one of the harder conference schedules.
Hey, Carolina Panthers fans, Chris Lee and Dennis Cox here.
We're excited to offer you all the inside information on your team with the newest member of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network, Panthers Playbook.
Twice a week, we'll keep you updated on your Carolina Panthers. We're talking about locker room insight, exclusive interviews, and of course, in-depth looks at all of the Panthers' wins.
Touchdown, Carolina!
Panthers Playbook. Download and subscribe today at WRELSportsFan.com or wherever you discover your favorite podcasts.
Ask Sherwin-Williams during the Endless Summer Sale, September 1st through the 11th, and get 30% off paints and stains with prices starting at $31.14. That means 30% off our most popular color family, blue. Psychologists have found it to be soothing and relaxing, which makes it especially great for bedrooms and bathrooms. And of course, get 30% off all of our other colors. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
But you got to feel like you got a chance every week, right? Mm-hmm. Clemson's concern for me is not just 3 out of 4, but look at the margins of those 3 losses. That's a big, big difference in the Clemson that struck fear in the hearts of college football's landscape a couple of years ago. And I think between now and Florida State, you know, to kind of paraphrase some of Dabo, there might be a prayer meeting or two.
Right.
Because they, Adam, this is kind of now become a thing, you know, and it's carried over. That's scary, I think, isn't it? If you're a Clemson fan,
I think if you're a Clemson fan, this is the way I looked at the game, and I love the Clemson Tigers program. They've been awesome. I just don't think their offense is good enough. I think they're.
Yeah.
I didn't see anything dynamic on the outside. Last night, I mean, Will Shipley can play for any school and most NFL teams in the country. He's that good. But I didn't see anybody else that looked that good to me, including the quarterback, who, I mean, that was a terrible pass behind Shipley that ends up being the final turnover, the interception off the tip drill. But I didn't think he was great. And I think in order for them to be great, they have to have an offense that matches. I think Florida State looked much better offensively than Clemson did.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. I think it's a, big deal. The concern I would have about Clemson is you got, look, they could beat Charleston Southern
pulling 11 people off the hill, okay? The question, Florida Atlantic comes in there in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Florida Atlantic throws it around now, right? I mean, and then Florida State, who arguably as poorly as Clemson maybe looked or played last night, at the end of the day, the question is going to become Florida State's momentum is building here, man. And it's building in a way that it's going to be pretty interesting to watch how this goes down, to be honest with you, I think.
Yep.
So it's going to be a tricky time for Clemson. And in fact, you know, and see, here's the other thing. The static and the noise with the program is going to be about the transfer portal, right? Because that's been kind of the open-ended whipping boy, if you will, of Clemson football when they lose or struggle. Like, you know, Feinbaum shoveled dirt on them again.
He did.
Dynasty's over the whole bit. You know, noted ACC authority, Paul Feinbaum.
Right.
Never an agenda there, right?
None.
So, to me, I just think that Clemson probably has more soul-searching to do right now than, say, Georgia Tech or Carolina or NC State, who's got to figure out a way to run the ball probably a little bit better.
Yeah.
But on the whole, look, let me just give it to you. It's the best opening weekend the ACC's had since they won 10 games in 2016 and went 2-1 against the SEC. And the other loss was Virginia with Mike London to Richmond.
Oh, gosh.
That's the last time the league has had a weekend that was as good as this weekend. They won 10 games in 17, but Carolina lost to Cal, and they went 0-3 against the SEC.
Right.
This is a 2-1 mark against the SEC in 8 wins. But now here's the thing. You double down on that and look at the games you got this week. I mean, A&M goes to Miami. You really want to be that league now? You want to reduce another league and enhance yourself? Miami needs to hammer Texas A&M.
Yep, they do. Man, hammer, just win. Just, I mean, anything. Win by one. Win 5-4. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Just win the game. You know,
and NC State needs to find a way to beat Notre Dame, and then all of a sudden we got ourselves a situation.
Yeah, my fear for the Wolfpack was that Connecticut had some success running the football against NC State, and boy.
Estimate's a handful, man.
Yep, no question about it, and Notre Dame's just got pro after pro after pro, it would seem, on the offensive line. And I love what I saw from the Tar Heels. I'm line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. App State's not going to be easy, as you're going to find out.
Sure.
Nor will Minnesota the following week. And then they go to Pitt. And I think that's going to be that. Who knows? The winner of that game might end up being the plan B for the conference championship game, if it's not Duke.
Let me tell you this. I think Carolina-Pitt is for, like, you know, get ready to spend the fall in the top four of the ACC. Because I think they're going to be, look, Clemson's going to have a moment. Is it going to be Florida State? Is it going to be somewhere after that? If Clemson loses to Florida State, they're 2 losses before they get to October 1, and essentially they're out of the college football playoffs. Okay?
Yes.
Think about that. Okay, so Clemson's been out of the college football playoff, but like last year it was when they lost to South Carolina, right? So now how do you handle that? How do you handle a scenario where, you know, and like Carolina a year ago, Carolina played great the other night. It was an important game to win, fan base, football team, all over. But now all of a sudden, how do you, it's like the old skins game in golf. You know, that analogy I've given you before, where you got to go validate what you did. You made birdie on the last hole, but if you don't make birdie here, nobody remembers what you did. And I think that's kind of where some of these teams are going to be until, like, Carolina gets to Pittsburgh or Clemson gets to Florida State or, like, NC State's right now. But Miami has a chance to answer a question. You know, down the line, Virginia Tech, Purdue this week, at Rutgers the following week.
Yep.
They got chances. Pittsburgh the same way. You got Cincinnati. We're forgetting Cincinnati-Pittsburgh this week.
Yep.
That's a game, Pitt. You want to stay in the game nationally. You win the game. And I think this league has learned some hard lessons of, you know, stubbing your toe, walking around and kicking trash cans in the first couple of weeks does not do you any favors nationally. They answered the bell a little bit. Quite frankly, I thought Thomas Hammack was going to beat Boston College Saturday. Okay? I'm not surprised that BC lost. I'm not surprised Virginia lost.
No.
Well, I think Florida State has put themselves in a situation to be a factor all the way through the calendar. Absolutely all the way through.
I 100% agree.
That's going to be interesting. That's going to be interesting given the landscape they created in August.
Yeah, and even a loss at Clemson doesn't take Florida State out of it as long as they do take care of their business the rest of the way. Final thing, on October 30th, will College Game Day be at Wallace Wade Stadium?
October 30th.
I'm sorry. September 30th, not October 30th.
Between you and me, I think there's a chance.
My gosh. My gosh. I'll lose my mind. That'll be just hysterical.
Because they've never been.
Well.
Right? That's one of the schools, isn't it?
Well, you know, there's probably a reason for that.
But is that not one of the schools?
I don't recall them ever being at
That's what I'm saying.
They've been at Cameron a few times. They have.
Well, yeah, but come on. I mean, and by the way, and God, I love Dave Pash and Dvorak and Luganville last night, but the basketball analogies start rolling out, you know, when the kids are getting ready to run on the field.
That's right.
And, you know, it's a credit to Mike. It really is. I mean, he's just a terrific coach.
Tremendous.
He's perfect for Duke. Because he played at Penn, he's worked at Wake, he's done it the right way, correct? Mm-hmm. And, you know, and now he's caught lightning in a bottle with the kid at quarterback and a terrific coaching staff. And I think they're going to benefit from that. But, you know, we're just getting started, guys.
But we're excited because it's the first show after the first weekend of the season. And we talked to Wes Durham, the voice of the ACC, the reason the conference turns a profit. And he'll have 5:15 App State coming down from the mountain to take on the Tar Heels in North Carolina on ACC Network, if you can find it.
Oh, man. See, come on. We got to get that worked out.
Yes. I'll do the best I can. I'll place a phone call.
All right. Talk to you, man. Be well.
You got it. Wes Durham here on the Adam Gold Show.